How many of y'all know God's on the move? So you got to stay in the groove. Or you get moved out. You know, it's vitally important right now about positioning. Where are you positioned? Where's your heart at? Glory to God. Turn to John 6, please. Thank you, Master. Fill us, refresh us, and kill us for your glory. In Jesus' name. In John chapter 6, in verse 53. Amen. Is everybody there? John 6, 53, let's read it together. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is what? Drink. In other words, he's talking about his body, him himself, who is the Word of God who came. The Word became flesh, came into the natural realm. And because the Word became flesh, he says, you must eat my Word. And you must drink my blood. His blood is a representation of the Spirit. So eating, so what we're actually doing is partaking of Christ. So as you partake of Christ, you become like Christ. He says, if you partake of me, because I am the life giver, you'll have life. If you're not willing to partake of me, you don't have life. Is everybody with me? In verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is phenomenal. If you feed on me. And you know, the word says, feed on his faithfulness. So we're going to be feed. In other words, he is your source of everything. He's your source. And when he is not your source, things begin to change in your life. What begins to happen is you begin to decay. The only way to maintain life is to eat from life. If you're not eating from the life giver, you begin to decay. That's called dying or perishing. Let's go a little further. In verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread, what? Lives for what? Forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can what? Understand is his disciples were having a hard time. And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? See, so many times people get offended because they don't have understanding. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend from where he was before? It is the Spirit who what? Gives life. The flesh what? Profits nothing. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are what? Spirit, and they are life. But there were some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would what? Betray him. So if you're one who doesn't believe, you are a betrayer. Has everybody got it? Because you will always come against him. Again, it is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. Everyone say, the Spirit gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, come on, read it with me. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the what? So nobody knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. Isn't that phenomenal? The only way that you're going to get things from God is through the Spirit. Other than that, you're not going to get it. So everybody got it? In other words, the Spirit does something. He reveals reality. He does what? He reveals reality. In other words, what is truly real? And it's only the Spirit that reveals reality. And reality is the things that are real. In other words, we know that we live in a realm. This is real, isn't it? But there's a place of reality. In other words, reality is a source of what is real. Oh, let's go a little further. Go to John 5. John chapter 5. In verse 31. Is everybody there? Speak it with me, please. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I did not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and the shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Say that again. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may what? That you may have life. So there's something very profound here. Very profound. He says, you search the scriptures that testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me. In other words, the scriptures cannot be mastered through cleverness. They cannot be mastered through research. They cannot be mastered through natural talent, because the word is spirit. And the only way to receive and understand the scriptures is to be in the spirit. So there must be a touch of reality. Everyone say a touch of reality. When there is a touch of reality, something changes in us. That's that touch that Jesus brings by his Spirit. So there must be a touch of Jesus by his Spirit that is called reality. It's almost like when somebody touches you, you turn a whole different, another arena. It's like you've been, like somebody just came up and painted you a whole nother color. The touch of Jesus, when that touch of reality, it opens up a whole nother arena, a whole nother realm of what is truly real. And what you thought was real before, you realize is temporary. So you're no longer relying on the things that you used to think were real. You now rely on reality, because reality is the source of what is real. Is everybody with me? Let's go to Matthew 14. Touch of reality. In case you want to know what today's title is. Is Jesus reality? Yes. And how does Jesus bring reality? Through his Spirit. So when you are touched by his Spirit, it's a touch of reality. And this touch of reality, see, what's so important is we need to have this touch of reality so that what is the temporary realm of real doesn't overcome you. It doesn't overtake you. It doesn't blind you from what is reality. And Matthew 14 and verse 34. Would you read it with me? When they had crossed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were what? Who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly what? Well, because they touched reality. Amen? Because there is no sicknesses and diseases in the realm of reality. They're only here in this realm. In the eternal realm, it's pure. In the realm where the King of Glory resides, is pure. And he's so desperately desiring to try to bring reality into this realm. But he brings reality into this realm through his chosen people. Once an individual has been touched by reality, he is now a vessel or a door that can, God can bring reality through that person. Do you understand that? If the person is willing to do whatever it takes, if the person is willing to constantly shun what the world has to offer and accept what the eternal realm has to offer. Amen? Again, the touch of the Lord is so essential. Not, again, in this, in, go to Matthew, oh, hallelujah, go to Matthew 22. So when you are touched, when the Lord touches you, that's why one of the things that people go, well, the Lord hasn't touched me yet. It's because you've not touched him. I'm going to say that again. Well, why hasn't the Lord touched me yet? Because you've not touched him. See, you touch him in the area of desire. He says, seek me with all of your heart and all of your strength, and you will find me. When you touch the heart of God, he touches you. Your tears do not touch him. He sees them. Does everybody understand that? Your needs do not touch him. Your desires do not touch him. It's your words that touch him. When you desire to understand and humble yourself, when your heart is set forth towards the Lord, because he sees your heart, he sees exactly, he knows exactly what's about you. And he's looking for someone that wants to be touched, but someone that wants to touch him. When you touch him, he touches you. This is not about a religious ritual. See, this is about a relationship. This is not an area where I'm going to use God to meet my needs. It's an area where God wants to use you to meet his needs. There is a difference. So there's got to be a place where you are willing to do whatever it takes. There's got to be a place where you're willing to relinquish your life. There's got to be a place that He is always before you and nothing else matters. There's got to be this place. In Matthew 22 and verse 22 or 23. Matthew 22, 23. Is everybody there? The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Him and asked Him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third even to the seventh. Last of all, the women died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven shall she be? For they all had her." Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living." And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at His teaching. Again, not knowing the scriptures because of the lack of reality. It is the lack of the touch of reality. They did not understand. Here it is again when the Lord says communion with the Lord. Remember we read in the beginning, "You shall eat of His flesh and drink of His blood." As you're desiring His presence, as you're beginning to eat from Him, there is something that's going to begin to happen. There will be a touch of reality. Again, when that touch of reality comes, it opens up a whole nother arena. It's like you just walked out of this realm into another realm. And so many believers, so-called believers, have never even experienced that. When it is available for them. The problem is they're caught up in religious rituals. They think that, okay, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that's it. It is not it. It is the beginning, not the end. There is so much more that God has for us. He's wanting us to be just like Jesus was in this realm. So much more. It is a shame to just accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and stop. It is offensive. That's not what God called us. He paid a price for each and every one of us that every drop of blood would be nourished in the arena that we would accept everything He paid the price for and receive everything that is available for us. And so many people do not know. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know about getting filled with the Spirit. They don't know about seeking His presence, His glory. They don't know about the anointing. That's all they know, that Jesus saves. What a terrible place to be. It's bondage. It's an outer court life. And God wants us to live a holy life in the holy place and have relationship with Him in the most holy place. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. Hallelujah. Touch of reality. 2 Corinthians 6:11. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections or desires. So everybody got it? You are restricted by your desires. Well, how can somebody be restricted by their desires? Because the desires they have are moving them away from a touch of reality. They are moving them. Their desires are only of the things of the world. And verse 13. Now in return for the same I speak to children. You also be open. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The word therefore means if you do this. If you what? Come out from among them. In other words, be sanctified, consecrated unto the Lord. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not what? Touch what is unclean. Why? Because people are missing the touch of reality and they're touching the things that are unclean. The more things that you touch of the world, those things prevent you from touching reality, which is the touch of the Lord. He says, do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Again, the touch of unclean things are of the world. It is the ways of the world that defile us. It limits our sight, our seeing things all the way through. It limits our hearing. It limits our obeying. I'm going to say that again. It limits our sight, it limits our hearing, and it limits our obeying. And these things, those three things of seeing, hearing, obeying, in other words, it's limiting us from all of these areas so that it's causing us to miss a touch from the Lord. And we all need a touch from the Lord. Amen? We need a reality touch. Now, again, the Spirit brings the reality touch, right? A reality touch begins to change us. This is consecration or separation or sanctification. When lack of this consecration or separation of the world, people serve money instead. They serve mammon. They serve the riches. They serve wealth. They serve pride. They serve prosperity. And it moves them away from God. Is everybody with me? I want to share something very vitally important, and especially understanding the scriptures, because without the touch of reality, the touch of the Lord, we can't understand. Who wrote the Bible is the Spirit. That's why it's important that we be consistent. The substance of the Bible is the Spirit. I'm going to say that again. The substance of this Bible is the Spirit. Amen? Has everybody got this? The substance of the Spirit is reality. I'm going to give you seven substances. The first one is the substance of the Bible is the Spirit. The substance of the Spirit is reality. The substance of reality is God. Because the Spirit makes God real. The substance of God is light. I'm going to start again. The substance of the Bible is the Spirit. The substance of the Spirit is reality. The substance of reality is God. The substance of God is light. The substance of light is life. The substance of life is truth. And the substance of truth is freedom. That's why so many people are still bound, even though they call themselves believers. So many limitations are placed on their life. Only those of kindred spirit may touch the Spirit of the Bible. I'm going to say it again. Only those of kindred spirit may touch the Spirit of the Bible. That means you must get a touch from the Lord. It is a reality touch that changes everything. It's almost like you just stepped in water and you became soaking wet. It's a whole nother arena. If you've ever gone underwater, it's another arena, isn't it? If you like to scuba dive, or you've ever gone in the ocean and gone scuba diving or anywhere, if you've ever gone underwater, it's a whole nother realm. There's other things to see. That's when the touch of reality touches you. Everything opens up. Now there's vision. Now there's hearing. Now there's obeying, because you want to obey. You're not justifying. You're not making excuses. You're not saying one thing and doing another. You are walking what you're talking. There is a difference, because there is a fear of God that comes now, because he's real to you. And he's so real to you. But even after the first touch, there must be continuous touches. It's not just a one-time event. It must be continuous. Go to James 4. James chapter 4. Touch of reality. James 4:4. Let's speak it together. Adulterers and adulteresses, what are they touching? They're touching unclean, so that they're not being sanctified, are they? Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? In other words, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But I'm a believer. I can fornicate. You're an idiot. Spiritually blinded. I'm a believer. I can lie. You're an idiot. You have not touched the reality, and reality has not touched you. Because when you get a touch from reality, the real reality, you become a new creation in Christ, and all things pass away, and all things become new. And there's a reverence and fear of God that says, you know what? I'm going to do whatever it takes to please you. You no longer look for fulfillment from the world. Your fulfillment isn't raising children. Your fulfillment, does everybody understand this? Your fulfillment isn't pleasing him. That's your fulfillment. Your fulfillment isn't what you can do for God. Your fulfillment is in relationship of pleasing him. See, that's the deception of the enemy. Many people go out and try to serve God to please him. He's not looking for you to serve him to please him. He's looking for you to be like him. He wants your heart. He wants all of you. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says, in vain the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore God says. God resists the what? Proud, but he gives grace to the, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The greatest demand on man is to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And it is only accomplished by a touch of reality. Reality should be pursued. Just like Jesus should be pursued. If you're waiting, listen, there's a time when we wait on God. We're always waiting on God to do something, aren't we? But he doesn't do it unless you pursue him. That's why the word says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all things will be added to you. So there must be a pursuit. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, she pursued the Lord, didn't she? She persevered. She pressed in. You know, people do a little hallelujah, a little tap dance, a little tongue, a little scripture reading, and then stop. Well, I don't know why the Lord's not touched me yet. Because you ain't touched him yet. So everybody got this. This is called reality. This is the touch of reality that you and I must constantly pursue. This is not religion. Amen? Reality is pursued, and it is delivered to you by the Spirit through revelation. It is a revelation through Christ's Spirit, who is called the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, 18. Let's speak it. Where there is no revelation, that's revealing, the people what? What are they casting off? Restraints. Where there's no revelation or touch of reality, restraints of fellowship with the world are cast off. There's no restraining. The person no longer restrains himself from the things of the world. They become a user of God instead of God using them. They become servants of money. Does everybody understand this? They become servants of materialism. They become servants of self and not servants of the Lord. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. A servant will not be corrected by mere words, for though he understands, he will not respond. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than him. Again, where there is no revelation, and in this revelation, it is associated with a touch of reality. You never know when God is trying to visit you. And so many times, think about how many times we miss the visitation from the Lord because we are caught up in our foolishness. We are caught up in what we wanted to do. We weren't persistent. We weren't persevering. We weren't pursuing. And we became complacent and compromised and lazy. And fulfillment was now coming from the workplace. Fulfillment was now coming from intellect. Fulfillment was now coming from lust or talent, which moves an individual further and further away from a touch of reality. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 15. Ephesians 1:15, let's speak it together. Therefore, I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He was talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and which we so need. Again, your fulfillment must come from revelation or the reality, a touch of reality from him. Because without that, then you do not cast off restraints. Amen? So the only way you want to restrain yourself from those areas of the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is to maintain a constant arena where you are getting revelation or a touch of reality. Without that, we move back into the world and we begin to serve the ways of the world and become friends of the world, thinking it's okay. Remember, God doesn't live in our world, we live in His. Amen? There isn't nothing hidden that we do that He doesn't see. And you'd have to be an idiot to think that He can't see what you're doing. Ephesians 4. And verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that means there's training involved. Hello. There's what? Training involved. So in this training, God is preparing. Look, at in the Old Testament, nobody went before a king without preparation. If you went before the king without preparation, you died. So there's training involved. And God is always preparing us for a visitation, a revelation, a touch of reality. That's why the Bible says you go from glory to glory to glory. And when we don't get those things, we begin to falter. We begin to lose our first love. We begin to lose our first works. We now no longer, the vows that we made and the things that we said that we were going to do no longer are established. They're no longer priority. The things that were priority are no longer priority. Other things are now priority and are taking the place of true priority. So everybody got it. So again, this is training. In verse 13, look at this. It says, till we all come to the what? Unity of the faith and a knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of what? Of the fullness of Christ. So it's going to take training. It's going to take endurance. The fullness of Christ is associated with a touch of reality. How much your spirit is trained up is important. Has everybody got it? You must be trained up. Why? You're being trained to be consistent, aren't you? You're being trained to be disciplined, aren't you? Why? Because so that no, what, the world will not influence you. So that you're constantly going after, you're pursuing that touch of reality. It brings you into that other place that says, awesome. You're awesome, Lord. And it's only You I want to know. It's You I want to please. You are my source. You are my everything. If I lose everything, it doesn't matter. See, people get in survival mode because they don't have a touch of reality, because they're trying to maintain everything. They're trying to maintain their materialism. They're trying to maintain this. They're trying to maintain that. If everybody would go and pursue a touch of reality, you wouldn't need to maintain anything. Just His presence. And whatever comes against you won't mean nothing. It won't move you. Because it can't touch you. Can't touch this. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Can't touch this. Amen? Can't touch my heart. Because I don't have one. The one I have is His, and He's got mine. So you're not sharing your heart with people. You're sharing His. It's a different type of life. It's not a life of compromise. It's a life of sold out. It's a life of submission. It's a life of only pleasing Him. All glory, so that we may come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. What an awesome thing. Verse, is everybody there? Let's go to the next verse. Let's start at verse 13 again. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should what? No longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried away with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So you're no longer tossed around. You solid. Say, I'm solid. So you be solid, man. Well, you're not going to get solid without pursuing a touch of reality. You'll be tossed to and fro by every feeling, by every self-promotion, by money, by lust. You'll serve the world, even though you may call yourself a servant of God. You could still be serving the world. Amen? But speaking the what? Truth and love may grow up. Everyone say grow up. In all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its what? Share causes what? Growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So there's got to be training, doesn't there? Training for reigning. And as you're being trained to reign, you will be an example. So your spirit is being trained up, isn't it? Amen? Your new spirit is being trained up. Not your old spirit. Your old spirit's being crucified. Your new spirit is being trained up. And the more that's being trained up in your spirit is what God can use. What's not trained up, God can't use and won't use. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. Again, it takes training, doesn't it? Is everybody okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The purpose of the training is to keep you consistent and disciplined. So you constantly pursue. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So that you finally get a touch of what? Reality. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Let's speak it. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are what? What's the word perish mean? Decay. They're decaying. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe and where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? See, people think they've made it already. Hello. People think they've made it. That is called pride. For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is what? Wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, the wise, the intellect, they have a hard time to receive because of the dependence. I'm going to share this again. The wise, or what we call the intellect. The intellect, the wisdom of this world, there's many people who are wise of this world, and the wealthy. They have a hard time to receive because their dependence is on their own wisdom, their intellect, and their money. Has everybody got it? Has anybody got it? Praise God. So in this, they have a hard time to receive because of the things of the world produce rebellion. Come on, say it with me. The things of the world produce rebellion. So when you begin to become dependent on your job and all of your talents and whatever, you're actually opening yourself up to rebel. Everybody got it? Because you are losing sight of dependence on the Lord. When we do these things, it produces rebellion to the things of God, lack of revelation, and no touch of reality, leaving a person in a state of pride and no training. A state of pride and what? No training. Has everybody got this? Oh, how important it is to get a touch of reality. I'm going to close at Romans 8. That's why the Bible says, forsake not assembling. Amen? Forsake not assembly. Why? Because there's training. Hallelujah. Romans 8:12. Let's speak it together. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? You will die. So is somebody living according to the flesh dependent on the world? Yes. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? You will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? They are sons of God. Why are they sons of God? Because they've been touched by reality, and their desire is to be touched by reality. Not just one time, but continues. They pursue it. They persevere. They know that their life and their source is from the throne room of God Almighty, not from anything else. Says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. Oh, that's what the world produces. Oh, man, if I really pursue, I might lose this. I might lose that. The only thing you're losing is revelation. You're losing the presence of God. You're losing truth. You're losing life. You're losing. You're perishing. You're decaying. When anything else is being pursued. Has everybody got this? We are in such a time where God is shaking. And in this shaking, he's pulling us out of these places of self. He's pulling us out of these places so that the world is being more exposed in our lives so things can be severed. So we can return to our first love and our first works. And be consistent and disciplined in the things he's given us to do. Without contamination. But with a pure heart. And clean hands. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is your time, your opportunity to pursue, to persevere, to seek, and get a touch of reality. Because without that touch of reality, there is no revelation. Amen? And without revelation, there is no restraints. You'll do what you think is right by how you feel or by what people say. But God is trying to speak to you specifically as an individual. So everybody got it? There'll be no individual conviction. It only comes through corporate then. And you don't need just corporate conviction. You need individual conviction where there's a personal relationship. It is time. Don't miss this. Let the training continue. For some of us, let it begin. And turn away from the ways of the world and the foolishness that it offers, because that's all it produces. Decaying. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we take opportunity right now and we ask for your forgiveness in those areas where we've allowed the world to infiltrate and bring us fulfillment in any way whatsoever. Where we've not sought a touch of reality. We repent and ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength to pursue, persevere, that we may be one that touches your heart so that you can touch ours. Let a touch of reality, Father, come to each and every one here today and every listener. Let a desire and a hunger. That's why the word says, those who thirst and hunger for righteousness shall be filled. Lord, bring your reality to us. And those things that cause us to stumble, expose that we may crush them and be well-pleasing to you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.